some.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Yes, Have Some podcast. Craig here with my co-host, Jacob Walsh. We're down one this week.
Whoa.
Abigail.
What's happening?
She's sick.
Whew.
She's in bed. She tried to muster the energy, and I could just tell she... this is gross, but you ever sick and you like take a shower to like cool down,
yeah,
and then you get out of the shower and you're immediately like sweating again, like you're just sick. Hate that. So we wish
sick is.
That's what sick is. We wish Abigail well. She'll be back. I'm sure.
You know,
she'll
be fine. Speaking of sick,
yeah,
that's how you know this is gonna be a good conversation.
It's gonna be a good one.
I've been kind of back on the stand kick.
Okay.
Because Abby's reading it.
Right. She told me she has 7 hours left.
Okay, I've been wanting to ask her about it, where she's at. But then another friend of mine is reading it for the first time and really enjoying it. So it's okay. It had me thinking about it. And then I listened. I went and visited my mom this weekend. And on the drive, I pulled up the Losers Club podcast, which is a really great Stephen King podcast I try to listen to as often as I can. And they did a 3-episode like deep dive into The Stand. But
okay.
it's a very old episode. So I'd never listened to it. And I listened to the first episode in the series. The first episode's 3 hours. It's almost as long as The Stand. It's 3 hours long, and it's about the first, third of the book.
Okay.
But I listened to it, and it got me like super excited about The Stand again. And then I rewatched the entire CBS show in the last 2 days. Yeah, I was like, God, am I gonna read The Stand again? I don't know. I've just been
so
excited about it.
You waited a while. Like, The Stand is kind of, some people consider, I think there's like, listen, by the way, before I start going down this road, I'm the last person in the world who should be even talking about any of this, right? Like,
right.
This is not
right.
My wheelhouse, but I keep up. I feel like there's maybe two camps. There's two camps.
Yeah.
There's the Dark Tower is the greatest thing Stephen King's ever done, but that's 7 books.
Sure.
And then there's people that say The Stand is his magnum opus. And you waited a while.
Those are two of the main camps, I think.
Okay. So you read Stephen King for a long time. You finally read The Stand, and now are you in that camp? Do you think, is that your favorite Stephen King book?
No. It is the best book. I think it is a better book. But The Stand is close. It's very, very, like, I'd seen the movie many, many times. And even though I like it, I was never just like, I'm like, oh, it's kind of a religious story. And it's kind of about, it's just about people getting sick and, maybe the devil. I was never,
right.
I wanted to read all these other books first. So I was like, I'll get to it at some point. But when I read it for the first time, I was like, oh, this is amazing. This book is so good. And I've been reading all this like stuff about it. Have you ever seen the old TV version of The Stand?
I mean, I definitely did. So when I was a kid, I went through okay, here's the deal. We used to go to Blockbuster. If something was like a double tape, like if there was two.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I was like, oh, this must be good. Like if it's so long that they had to split it up into two tapes. And I feel like all of the made for TV, like Stephen King movies were like that. And I've told the story before about how I only had the first volume of it growing up. So I never knew the second half of the movie. It's a long winded way of saying, but it's been a very long time.
Also, it's 6 hours long. So part of me can't really imagine you as a kid sitting down and watching 6 hours of The Stand. You probably only saw the middle and thought it was the whole thing.
I was probably watching a different Gary Sinise movie. I was probably watching Forrest Gump. And I was like, wow, The Stand is crazy. That part in The Stand where Forrest Gump meets JFK is insane.
Well, for anybody who maybe isn't super familiar, The Stand is about the super flu happens, wipes out 99% of the population, and the people who are left alive all start having dreams. And they're having dreams about Mother Abigail, who's an older woman who's like, hey, come to Colorado. Come be cool and hang out in Colorado. And then they're also having dreams about Randall Flagg, who is evil. And he's like, come to Las Vegas. Come here. And so the cast splits up, half go here, half go here. And then you find out Randall Flagg is maybe possibly the devil. He's not, but he's close. And, you know, Mother Abigail's good. But once you get halfway into that book, it gets pretty religious. And it's a lot of like good versus evil, God versus the devil type stuff. But I've been reading all this stuff lately about how, like, Randall Flagg's like, I'm not the devil. He's like, I know the devil, but I'm not him. And I read all this stuff recently about how, you know, Randall Flagg is the villain in like 7 Stephen King books. He's the main villain in The Dark Tower.
Right.
He's in a lot of other books. And I was reading, like, even though some of the characters in The Stand are putting a lot of like religious, you know, terms and stuff on what's happening in that book, Randall Flagg's like, it's like that's a human concept. And Randall Flagg exists in other worlds and he's clearly nothing to do with hell. He's just another kind of being from another world. But to humans, that situation plays itself out in a religious way because that's what we know. And right. He's just kind of like he runs with it.
Man.
He's like, sure.
So what a world that Stephen King has built. Good for him. I mean, I remember we've talked about this before, but like when Lost was like really heating up,
mm-hmm.
it was like season 5 and 6, and it was like Jacob versus the Man in Black, and
oh yeah,
it was all these theories that people were like, well, you know, the Man in Black's Randall Flagg, right? Like they're low key. This is part of this. Like, and I was like, are you kidding me? Unreal. It's like clearly not.
God, that would have been so crazy. The Lost just turns out to be secretly by Stephen King the whole time.
That's what
go ahead.
It's fun to think. I don't know if there's any frame of reference of this ever actually happening, but it's fun to like think about like taking on a piece of content, and by the end, it's something that you didn't know. Right? Like, I think they've tried it.
I think a lot of people get mad if you do something like that. They feel tricked. Even
if you get to the end of the movie and you're like, oh shit, this was a Blair Witch movie the whole time. I had no idea.
Right.
Like,
right.
But yeah, I mean, dude, that's all. Like, so are you going to reread it?
I don't know. Like, it's got me wanting to. I think the first thing I'm going to do is listen to episodes 2 and 3 of the Losers Club's, deep dive.
Like recap, into the, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be 6 more hours on its own. So I kind of want to listen to that first and hear. Because listening, those guys are like, as much as I talk about Stephen King and as much as, you know, I get obsessed with it, those dudes know everything. And
right.
And they've read way more of the books than I have. And I'm listening to this and this is some of their like second or third time reading The Stand. So they're picking up on things that maybe I didn't catch, you know, and I'm listening to them talk about something where I'm like, oh shit.
And it's like deep dive, like analysis.
Yeah. And it makes you want to go back. It makes me want to go back and be like, I need to listen. I need to read this book again.
Dude, I always get stressed out when, that kind of thing that you're talking about, like I'll listen to other podcasts on various topics and I'm just like, man, these people know so much. They know so much about this one topic. Like I said, like I think of all topics in the world that I know about.
Yeah.
I think Ghostbusters is like the, like I know more about Ghostbusters than any one thing.
Sure.
But I also know, I know 20 people in my life right now that know more about Ghostbusters than I do by like miles. Like sometimes I'm like, we'll be talking to people and they'll bring something up and I'm just like, yeah, totally. And in my head, I'm like, I didn't know that. I really don't know what you're talking about. So it's like, it's like that imposter syndrome. So
yeah,
but anyways,
yeah, for sure.
Well, cool, man. it's about to be that time of year where we start diving into some horror retrospectives. I think we're in October, we're going to try to, like, each week for the podcast, do a different deep dive. Our audience seems to really like when we do that. So, like, long time ago, didn't we do Nightmare on Elm Street? We did Friday the 13th, I think. Like,
we've talked about, like, the Evil Dead movies and
Child's Play.
Yeah, all Leprechaun movies, all kinds of stuff. But there's a lot coming out this October to talk about. So,
yeah. Me and Abby watched The Black Phone last night. I was telling you about that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was very good. Is that what it's called? No? The Black Phone? Yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
That's 2 years old. You can talk about it.
Well, first of all, they're
based on a book that's older. So
they're making a sequel. They're going to make a
franchise. I didn't know that.
And I thought, what's his name? Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good.
The Grabber.
I think what I liked about it is it was clearly like, oh, this is based on like 1970s, 1980s American serial killers.
Yeah.
You know, Jeffrey Dahmer or John Wayne Gacy and all that. And then the supernatural stuff I liked, but I thought the last 20 minutes of the movie, I laughed a couple times. It's never a good sign if you're doing.
Huh. Yeah. But I remember liking it, but I also don't remember why or much about. I just remember watching it being like, oh, that was different. I like that, you know, but I remember the one thing I thought was really weird was like, oh, the Grabber lives with his brother and his brother doesn't know he's fucking keeping kids in the basement.
Right. Yeah. And the brother was kind of funny, but he was only like in one scene.
Yeah.
I felt like there was maybe something cut out.
A little confusing. Yeah.
Well, anyways, it's streaming on Amazon Prime. Check it out. Let us know what you think. So we're not going to do Ghostbusters Radio Live this week, but there is some Ghostbusters stuff happening. I feel like we should maybe dig in on if that's cool with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
I also felt bad. I feel like we should be plugging the Kaiju show that Jake Key's putting on.
We should
have had him on. So Jake
Key, call him. Want me to? I'll text him. I'll tell him to hop on StreamYard.
He might.
We got a light show. Can you hop on StreamYard real quick?
Light topics this week. Jake Key, your co-host from YHS on Monster Island, is putting on his first ever. Well, it's like a show. It's called Kaiju Go. There's going to be vendors and there's going to be artists and there's going to be Godzilla movies being shown.
Yeah.
This is all happening in Texas this weekend.
Is it this weekend or I think it's next weekend, right?
No,
it's this weekend. Yeah, I think you're right. It's this weekend. Last I heard, they do still have some tickets left. But yeah, they are showing a double feature. They're doing Godzilla versus Megalon and, oh boy, I don't have the flyer. I got it right here.
It's
you got it.
It's also Mothra versus Godzilla. Also, when you just said there's still tickets left, which they've sold a lot of tickets, but it reminded me of Wayne's World 2, where it's like the day before Wayne's stock.
Yeah.
And Wayne's like, there's still plenty of tickets left, and there's a rumor going around that none of the bands have officially signed, and that is true, but our good friend John Cable will be out there.
Yep,
and
doing some signings and stuff, and they're going to do a toy show, have a bunch of Sifubi for sale. I'm really bummed I can't be there.
Well, hopefully it's the first of many, and we'll make it out to the next one.
I think that's the plan. I think the plan is to do a couple more of these. So yeah,
because it's a ton of work to put that stuff on. So, congratulations to Jay for the success on that.
Hey, speaking of Wayne's World, have you ever heard the stories about Mike Myers while filming the first Wayne's World and how big of an asshole he was?
Let's talk about it.
Bums me out, dude.
So here's the thing. Do you consider Mike Myers a comedic genius?
I don't know if I'd call him a genius. I mean, like, when's the last time he made something I laughed at? I don't know.
You could say the same thing about Mozart. Like, you know, when's the last time he put out a new piece? You know, we all love the old stuff. I'm glad you brought this up. So to answer your question, I don't remember if it was more on Wayne's World 1 or Wayne's World 2, but Mike Myers was notoriously difficult. And it was one of those things where like him and Dana Carvey weren't that close.
Yeah. It's the first one. It's the first Wayne's World. And I read all of this stuff about how it was so bad that he told the director that they weren't going to direct the second one. And
right.
And, Dana Carvey quit the movie before it even started, and they had to like beg him to come back. And there's like a story that I've read from two different people saying that he got really mad and flipped the table because a bagel had the wrong kind of butter on it. And he was just like, his dad was dying and he was a fucking asshole to everyone, and that he wanted to, he didn't want Garth to be funny. And right. he tried to cut out the scene of, what's her name on the bicycle, because she gets a laugh and he doesn't in that scene. Right. And I'm like, oh, he's really like controlling and like weird. Huh. And I read that he always would get mad if anybody else was getting the laughs. And I read like that's why in Austin Powers he plays three parts, is because he knew those parts were funny.
Right.
But he wanted to be the person to do it.
So what is that though? Like, what is that level of like, because that is a mental health thing.
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like an insecurity.
Insecurity for sure. And it just sucks because Wayne's World is so good. That movie is so funny. I was watching it the other day, but I was reading all this stuff while I was watching it. And I was just like, oh, this makes me feel icky about this movie. I mean, it's good to know that he's made up with everybody and like sure. him and Dana Carvey are cool now or whatever. But anytime you hear Dana Carvey talk about it, he always talks about it with, I was listening to Dana and Dana Carvey and David Spade's podcast the other day.
That's a good show. Yeah. Yeah.
And they mentioned Wayne's World just a little bit. And you could tell that it seemed like they did that thing that we do when we have we know what we want to say, but we won't say it on air. Yeah. I was like, oh, they want to talk shit about Wayne's World right now, but they're not going to do it on air. Oh, dude, I've always said,
the off-topic YHS, the stuff that gets said afterwards,
yeah,
that would be a much more popular show, I think.
Right.
Before we bring on our special guest, Jay Key, who just popped in, I want to say one more thing about the comedic genius thing. And well, we should ask Jay, actually. Let's bring him in on this.
Okay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's up, dude?
It's 2023 and we're discussing Wayne's World. So, light news week.
No, yeah, I mean very very timely. Yeah, absolutely.
Is it?
No.
Well, it started because I said Kaiju Go was the Wayne stock of yes. the YHS universe.
Thank yeah. you. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about it.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, listen, we try to like dish out compliments when they're, you know, deserved. Before we talk about Kaiju Go, they're like, yeah. I was asking Jake, because we're talking about how like Mike Myers was like notoriously kind of an asshole during the filming of Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Jacob, because this is something that I think happens with people that are eccentric genius. I mean, listen, how many people have Bill Murray throwing a tantrum stories about whatever? I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's never even been told. Jake, you don't consider Mike Myers comedic genius?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, sure. I'm not going to, if you said it, I'm not going to refute it. It's not.
Oh, I'm not saying that he is. I'm just like wondering. Right.
But if somebody did, I don't think I'm not over here like worshiping Mike Myers. I think he's great. Genius, I'm not sure. But if somebody said, I think he's a genius, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I get it.
I've had this theory that if you can, over your course of your career, have three memorable comedic characters that impact pop culture, that's like the goal. Like Jim Carrey did it really early on. Like he's mm-hmm. got countless, but like if you think about Mike Myers, he's got Wayne, he's got Austin Powers, he's got Shrek, the Love Guru.
Right, but he's
the lead
in
Saw Married an Axe Murderer. Yeah.
Hey, that right, movie's right. awesome. He's it not is. Really responsible Harry, for Shrek. Like
true. That that's true too. Yeah.
That movie's great, but
right. Well, Jay, where do you stand on this conversation?
No, it's funny. I'm probably closer to what Jake feels. I think he wouldn't be, I don't think, in my like pantheon of immortals. But if somebody said it, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, awesome, great. But I said, I don't know. And I don't know if it's because movies like Austin Powers were just so overplayed in pop culture references and stuff that it's almost like you just want to move on and forget about it. But right. But you're right. I mean, there was nothing bigger than that brand for a while when it comes to, you know, comedic characters. But yeah, I mean, if somebody said that, I would be totally like, yeah, sure. Why not? Probably not in mine, though.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about Adam Sandler or should we move on from this topic? Because you can make an argument. Listen.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, up until like 1997, was on
early
track.
Early Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Early
yeah.
Adam Sandler. Like when you,
but
when
not
you,
too early, because then you have like Adam Sandler going overboard, which is one of the worst movies ever made.
That was like the one that was like shelved. And then yeah. like Billy Madison was a hit. They're like, we got to get going overboard back out.
No.
Well, I walked into work. This is a true story. I walked into work this morning and they were all watching. What is the movie where he's like the devil or he's like one of the kids? Of
Little
the devil?
Nicky?
Little
Nicky. I walked into work and they were watching Little Nicky. I watched 10 minutes of it. And I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really bad.
So. Yeah. 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 Waterboy is also really bad. Billy Madison is better. Great.
Happy Gilmore is great. I like Happy Gilmore.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Billy Madison's probably my favorite, but that and Happy Gilmore, they're untouchable.
Big Daddy's actually really like Big Daddy's pretty good. But after that,
I don't like kids, so I don't think I'm gonna.
Either I'm not gonna rewatch. That's part of the story.
I don't want to be told I should like them by the end. You know,
maybe it was based off you, Jake. Maybe
I don't want my heart to grow three sizes watching Big Daddy. There you go.
Well, cool. Well, Jay, yeah, we were talking about Kaiju Go a little bit.
Nice.
We kind of plugged it, but we don't have to just promo it. I just want to know how's it going? How's the planning been? Has it been stressful?
Yeah, it's been super fun. First off, that's number one with a bullet. It's been fun. It's been educational, and at times stressful, but the good news is with Kaiju Go, unlike at Toku Toy Town, some of my other ventures, like I do have a partner in crime with this one. So it's not just all me. So my good buddy, Chaz Foreman of Chaz Bro Toys, he's a toy maker, toy designer, and just a really cool dude. He is kind of spearheading it with me. And so that's made it a lot easier, more digestible. But yeah, it's a big undertaking to get any type of event off the ground, especially one that involves getting rights to show films and getting special guests and, you know, getting a venue that's not, you know, that has a lot of kind of quirks to it because of, you know, where it's at and you know, very high tourist area and getting all the and vendors and, you know, that whole thing. So it's been super fun. But yeah, I'm not going to lie, a little stressful at times.
And it's this weekend, right?
It is. It's Saturday. Doors open at 4:00 and we'll have the double feature, which is amazing. It's going to be Mothra versus Godzilla from 1964, which I feel is like, if we're going to start, let's start with what I think is like the quintessential Showa era great like Godzilla film. And then the nightcap is going to be Godzilla versus Megalon because it's its 50th birthday.
The nightcap. Yeah.
I know. And it's, you know, it's zany and wacky and you know, it's like a totally different vibe than Mothra versus Godzilla. And in between, you're going to have an amazing Q&A interview with two awesome artists. The first, the legendary Bob Eggleton, who's won 9 Hugos, 12 Chesley Awards, 6 Asimovs. I mean, he is quite possibly the greatest science fiction and fantasy artist that there ever was. And he just happens to also be very involved in the Godzilla community and has done so much for the Godzilla community. I always like to say he's illustrated a lot of our personal discoveries of Godzilla, which is really cool. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, as Bob is very like, he still oil paints. Like that, his stuff is all oil painting. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, kind of some new blood, a friend of YHS, one of y'all's good buddies, the great John Yerkeba, he's going to be there as well in that interview and representing kind of the digital art, modern, like a very different style, very different aesthetic. And I think it'll be a really cool interview showing kind of this yin and yang of Godzilla and from an art standpoint. And then last but not least, what I'm most excited about is the really cool vendor room that we have. First off, it's upstairs in a cool speakeasy gallery bar area, and we have about 7 or 8 vendors. We capped it, and everybody only gets one table. Bring your best stuff, and it's all high-end designer
vinyl.
No, yeah, you know, it's a Bandai Frieza. It's a Bandai Frieza. No, it's all indie toys, art toys, designer toys, and of course a lot of Kaiju Sufubi. And it's cool because we have a few artists that are based here in Texas that are, you know, they're designing their own stuff. They've been doing it for a long time, and they're bringing exclusives for the show. Like, it's going to be so cool. So having people like David DeGran and Chance Priest and Michael Morse there, those are like heavy hitters when it comes to that little niche of a world. And then Tokyo Toy Town, of course, will be there. And Toy Matrix, who's, you know, he booths at San Diego Comic-Con, at Texas Frightmare, at Retro Expo. And I've met Gary, and he's an amazing guy. And he's been doing it for about 25 years, and he has a great Godzilla selection. And so he's going to be there. So it's going to be super fun. It's going to be a unique, like, intimate kind of experience. And I hope people just kind of go and have a great time, and the community gets kind of built up.
This gets me so pumped up. I want to do an event. Yeah. I want to do something. Yeah. I actually don't. I'm glad that you're doing it. And I hope you do another one. I hope we can do one in Atlanta. I think we can probably pull it off.
Oh, yeah. Atlanta. You know, Atlanta.
Kaiju Go in Atlanta? Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Kaiju Plaza Go. Theater. Let's do it.
It would be amazing.
Do it there.
Yeah. They would 100% let us.
And there's a great, I forgot the name of it. Jake, you might remember. I shot you that about a month or so ago. I shot you a note that they're having like a really cool like designer toy, indie toy. I don't know if it's like a showcase event. I think it's a 1 day thing, but I believe like Marmot's coming in for it, and Marasan, and some big heavy hitters from Japan. But it's in Atlanta. So there's definitely a market there. I mean, and the Sean Linkenback of Showcase Daikaiju, who's been selling Godzilla toys for 20 years plus, he's based in Atlanta. So there's definitely vendors there, and I think a pretty big community.
That's amazing. So Jay, what's next though? I know you. Like, as soon as this is done, you're on to the next thing.
We have this whole Kaiju Go thing was built up as kind of like a minimum of three event kind of thing, right? Like we didn't want to judge the overall, like, is this something that's viable until we can get like two or three of these.
Sure.
It is, you know, it is a very small market compared to Star Wars or compared to Ninja Turtles or G.I. Joe. So we want to make sure that we can find the people first, and it might take a few. We want to make sure that they see it's not a convention. You know, it's not a con. This is not a get in line, take a picture, give me $500 and go on. This is not something that's going to have thousands of people. Like, people laugh at me when I say, like, we don't want that. We don't want thousands of people. I'd rather have 500 people and just charge them more, you know,
right?
Because we want to,
then it's more fun for everybody.
We want a really like intimate, cool experience where, like, in our heads, the vision is, you know, whether we pull it off, totally different animal, but we want you to go in as a fan of Kaiju and to be able to like hang out and talk to Bob and John, to hang out and talk to these toy designers, to go and like sit down and watch a movie that you never even seen on the big screen because you probably were 20 years away from being born by the time that, you know, when it was actually on the big screen. Right. And just kind of have a unique, fun, community first experience. And that's the goal. And we want to make sure that everybody's having a good time. You know, we aren't charging vendors like they are going. We want them to be there for free and sell everything they can and get 100% of the profits. Like, that's not how we want to make money.
Whoa, Jay, that seems like a bad business move.
No. There's other ways.
What are these ethics?
No. Business ethics. Yeah. yes. But that's how we want to do it. We want to make sure we get the best of the best so people can have that sort of experience. They don't have to dig through piles of Funko Pops to find one okay Sufubi. It's like, it's just all there, right? And so that's nice, the goal. Dream. I know, and we want to mirror the Japanese Toy Festival kind of cadence and do two a year, like a summer and a winter. So we're talking about maybe in like February doing another one, but like a totally different vibe. It's going to be two different movies. The guest may or may not pertain to those movies. The vendors will rotate in a lot of more artists and stuff. So that's the goal, is that not only is it fun, but like the next one will be a totally different experience from what you see and what you can buy and what artists that you can meet and special guests. So that's the goal. That's the plan. And I hope we can, you know, hope we can pull it off. If not, then it's a great place for me to sell some toys for Tokyo Toy Town.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to hear all about it. I can't wait to hear how successful and amazing it was and how,
just gotta get Jake down for the next one.
We're all gonna be there. Like, we're gonna get the whole crew.
Yeah, if this wasn't like Dragon Con next week, we'd all be there 100%. Yeah.
Oh, I know that. And then obviously, Jake, I know you have your big tattoo convention, which is I know just huge. So Yeah, shame on me for scheduling. I wanted to get it in before like football season. So
it's okay.
You know,
in
Texas, it's hard to get people there on during, you know, Saturdays in college football season. So I wanted to get in the August, you know, of course it is like, as you guys know, it's like 115 here. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be toasty.
But
everybody shower.
But what is football?
Yes. What is true? Football? What is?
Like,
yes.
From an existential, like,
are we football? Is football?
Why
football?
Is football?
Is I football? Well, Jay, hey, I think we're about to talk about some Ghostbuster stuff. You're more than welcome to hang out, though.
You know, I probably can't add a ton of value there. I'm trying to think of other than this. I mean, I know you guys saw the news. Oh, sorry, I don't want to break anything.
No. I was just gonna say, Jay, it's Ghostbusters news, but it's also Star Ace Ghostbusters.
I was about to say that. So. That was my one thing. You just stole my thunder, man. I was like, hey, I do know X Plus and Star Ace, and I know you guys now. Yeah. Now it's funny. When I saw that news, I did tell Jake. I was like, I shot him the link, and I was like, well, no, you're obviously now the expert in the Ghostbuster community on this because you know X Plus, and now everybody in the world of Ghostbusters will understand the pain that we have. Oh, hey, sorry. We were getting joined by my son. Hey, buddy. Hey, you want to be on, live TV?
Whoa, is that a Star Ace?
Oh, look at that. Can you say hi?
Hi. Said bye.
You never know who's going to show up at the Key household.
Wow. That's
cool. But yes, but you guys will now know the challenges and just how crazy it is being an X Plus / Star Ace collector. In the Ghostbuster world, and you're like, oh, I kind of feel Jay and Jake's pain now.
We feel this a little bit. Yeah, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna talk about it a little bit here. We'll talk about it on Toy Anxiety, and we'll figure out what's going on with that second Stay Puft ad.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys giving me some airtime here.
Absolutely.
Have fun.
Sorry that I was like, Jay, you can come on if you come on right this second.
Very.
Drop what you're doing and log on right now.
I'm used to it, man. I'll take whatever I can get.
All right, guys. Everybody go later. Check out Kaiju Go, check out Toku Toy Town, and check out YHS and Monster Island. Do it all.
I love it. All three.
Cool.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jay. Well, cool. Well,
Jay's great. Jay's the best. Okay.
Also, Jay, don't ever bring your kid on the show again. Just a warning. Everybody
that was the first kid to ever be on YHS.
Yeah, what's up with that? Kaiju Go. I want to go to that next time.
So we've been.
We need to see what that Atlanta thing is he's talking about because I completely forgot. And he said there's some sort of kaiju thing happening in Atlanta. Oh, I'll have to go to that.
Yeah, we'll figure out what that is. Jason Reitman.
What
he? Well, he's a person.
Yeah.
He did another screening of the Ghostbusters preview cut. At the Prince Charles Cinema?
I think so, yeah.
Or is it the St. Charles Cinema?
One of those works, yeah.
Prince Charles Cinema, London, England. He did a screening at the Alamo Drafthouse in New York a couple weeks ago. Sold out a couple screenings. Brought it to London. He's there with Gil. Gil was a surprise guest. Gil Cannon. And did you watch the video clip at all?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't even see it. Where was that? I'm assuming it's all over the place, but I didn't.
A couple people had video of it. Who was somebody on YouTube had a good rundown of the events. I want to make sure because a bunch of people were there. I want to make sure I credit the right person or people. Here it is. Popular Tripe. I like him a lot. He's great. So he had some video of Gil and Jason introducing the movie, and those two have so much chemistry. They're so funny. So yeah. Gil says something like, well, preview cuts are very much, you know, something that I'm all about right now because I'm in the middle of editing the new Ghostbusters movie. And I don't remember if it was Gil or Jason, but I think Gil was like, we're going to show it tonight. He said that. He's like, It was a very like,
oh, it was my very funny. God, what a troll.
Yeah, it was really funny. But then they did talk about how like Jason flew back to London because yesterday, Gil was going to be sharing the first assembly cut of the movie with Jason to start that post-production process of seeing where everything's at. So it was really cool. All the video was cool. Lots of Ghostbusters fans went out there. Got Jason was doing, you know, handshakes and autographs and photos and doing all the stuff.
Whole thing.
Which I gotta say, I know that I don't think Ivan ever loved that part of it.
Yeah.
But Ivan was really good with the fans at events and stuff.
He was, you know?
I loved getting to meet Ivan Reitman and talk to him and but he didn't like the couple times we did get to interact with him, he was so funny. He would be a little dismissive, like a little bit like
yeah, but that's part of what made him so funny. He's so chill. Like when we did the breakfast and we had Ivan sitting down at our table, he first of all halfway seems like he doesn't care about anything.
Right.
But he's also just really funny and chill. And he's like kind of telling a story. And he knows that he is there to entertain you and he doesn't care what you have to say.
Right.
He's like, I'm the draw here. So as soon as someone else starts talking, he's like, yeah, well, okay.
Cool. Right. Right.
I thought you were here for me. Why are you talking?
Right. Yeah. Right. What is this? But Jason's great. Jason's really awesome with the fans and him and Gil are I like watching them on stage together. They're really funny, but
yeah,
I'm hoping that there's more opportunity. I would love to go like, you know, that preview cuts on that last DVD.
I remember we watched it and it was insane.
It is insane. And from what we've been reading, whatever they're showing in the theater is the exact same thing. There's no music. There's no effects. Every single scene is almost like a little bit different with alternate takes and different lines. I want to watch it again.
I remember when it came, we sat down, me, you and Abby sat down and watched it. And I was like, I mean, I'm sure we did an episode about it, but my mind was literally, I was like, this is like watching Ghostbusters for the first time. It's weird. Right.
Jason talked about in the video clips about how much Ivan would not want to be showing this and how he would be like, what are you doing? Because as a director, you want the final, your final cut is that's the cut of the movie. That's it.
Yep.
But Jason, I think he's kind of, he's looking at it almost like a teaching process. He's saying that,
well, he's a filmmaker and he's a different kind of film. Even, you know, he's very similar to his dad. He's still a different kind of filmmaker. And he sees the merit in seeing that kind of stuff.
Well, he said that it's important for people to understand that filmmaking is an iterative process. And there are, you learn as you go, and there's different cuts and different versions and different edits. And when eventually it's done. So two schools of thought, whether or not that stuff should be shown. But also I think Gil says like Ghostbusters is a perfect movie. It's the most perfect movie. So to see an imperfect, like one of them said, like a B+ version or a B version.
Yeah.
Of an A+ movie.
I think it's, you know, to me, it feels like, you know, maybe if I made a film, I wouldn't want that to be seen immediately.
Right.
Ghostbusters is, you know, 35, 40 years old or whatever. So it's okay. I think enough time has passed. We can go back and watch. It's the same with like, I would love to see that for Ghostbusters 2. You know, like whenever the deleted scenes came out and some of the scenes are just alternate versions.
Yeah.
Like stuff, conversations they've had are that are in the movie, but are in take place in a different location and stuff like that. I love to see that kind of stuff. I think it's cool to see how we got where we are, you know?
And the reason, like the only, like when you watch a deleted scene for a movie, like most of the time it feels weird or like out of place.
Yeah.
But it's just because
that's why they're deleted.
Well, there's that, right. There's that. But also there's the aspect of you've seen Ghostbusters 100 times. Now there's this extra piece of, there's an extra scene. It's like your brain doesn't even want to accept it. So
you can't, it's hard to compute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when somebody goes and listens to the Patreon, the White Chest Patreon. Like, what's all this extra stuff? I didn't even know about this. It's not like that. So yeah, that was really awesome. And there was a bunch of people posting on Instagram and everywhere else that they got the chance to go out there. So I hope hope Jason does more of those screenings.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Do one in Atlanta.
That's tonight's motto. Do one close to where we're at.
See that in Atlanta.
Like, you already filmed the whole movie in England. Okay. Can we get out of England for a little bit? Everything's England now. Everything's just happening in London.
Everything's England.
Gonna pack up all my stuff and move there the day I get there. Everyone's gonna leave. I'm gonna be back here.
I think they've already left. I think they're already.
Yeah, I think it's just Gil. I think, because Gil lives there.
Gil lives there.
Some people on the GB fans message boards and the other places were like, they were talking about how, like, I thought they were on strike. This is a bad look. Like, this is close to crossing the picket line. This shit was driving me insane.
Are you talking about on showing the preview cut?
On them? No.
Right?
Not on that. Well, on Gil and Jason talking openly about how they were going to show the assembly cut of Firehouse.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And, like, first of all, these are directors and producers. I think it's really important for people to realize, like, the writers are on strike. The actors are on strike.
Right.
So what Nobody does that mean? Is. The Directors Guild was good. They signed a new deal, so they're good. Post-production is not... I think, Pete, there might be a misconception that people think post-production is not happening on this movie till the strike is over. That is not the case.
No, there are working on it right this second.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. VFX artists, lighting coordinators.
Toy tubers.
There's a lot of people working on the Afterlife sequel, Firehouse.
Yeah.
And that includes editors, and they're putting it together. So Gil and Jason are actively working. They're not going to be able to do reshoots or anything involving the actors for, like, ADR or voiceover or, like, press and that kind of stuff until the strike is resolved. But I just think it's important for people to like gain a little bit of understanding.
Right.
But there's a really weird thing in the Ghostbusters community where I think people talk out of turn a lot.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people do this.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think this is exclusive to Ghostbusters, but you definitely hear a loud, there's a loud voice of people who think they know what's going on when they don't.
Yeah. And they talk about it openly. And I think sometimes it's to like, it's either to sound more like intelligent or credible or go for it.
I was just going to say, I think some of the people who are yelling about the strike they're virtue signaling. Because they don't actually know what the strike is. Like, if they knew what actually was happening with the strike, then they would know that the directors and the post-production people are not on a strike.
Right.
So they're just saying these things because they want to appear to be on the right side of things. This is bad, so why are they doing it? I think it's bad, too.
But right.
Maybe you're not. Maybe Here's you don't know what you're thing. Talking about.
Here's another thing I think people forget. The strike it's the actors versus the studio.
Yeah.
The studio, Sony, or whatever studio is, they want to put out the movies.
Right.
They're not going to, Sony, I don't want to just say Sony, but all of the studios are trying to come to an agreement with the actors. It would not be in Sony's best interest to be like, hey, we're not going to move forward with all of our productions until the strike's resolved. It's literally the whole point of the strike is the opposite of that. Sony's like,
right.
It's not good. None of this is good. We all want it to end. Yeah. We definitely support the actors and writers, but I think there's just a misconception of how this impacts. Like,
people think it means all movies and everything shut down.
Right.
That's what it is. It's just a misunderstanding.
Filming shut down. If you guys think back, if you
yes, because you can't film without the actors.
Well, actually, did you read that Sonic 3 is filming 80% of the movie without the actors because it's all digital?
So does that mean they're not using... So Sonic and Tails and Knuckles are not like motion capture? They're just 100% CGI creatures?
I think so, yeah. That's what I read.
Could be. Is Ryan working on that movie?
I don't think so.
Let's get Ryan on. Ryan, what do you think of Sonic?
He's got a whole hedgehog thing that he's against. But I think there's a little bit of that. It's virtue signaling and ignorance, but not ignorance like in the really negative connotation. Like
no, ignorance as in they just don't. They just don't fully understand what the strike is. Yeah. Which is, I don't fully understand. You know what I mean?
Me like, either. I could be dead wrong about everything I just said.
We might be wrong, Craig.
And that's okay. We have a podcast. Say whatever we want. No repercussions. So yes, I just find it weird when like I've seen, there's other people in the Ghostbusters community who have like, especially there was people that were really pro answer the call, who have a really big chip on their shoulder about like, and I've talked about this before, about like anything having to do with like these new movies. And like, it's like, man, if some people are really missing the boat, because I think one of the most incredible things ever, and a kind of a gutsy thing that is really never talked about, is that Jason Reitman followed up the entire controversy of Answer the Call with a Ghostbusters movie with really strong female leads.
Right. Led by a female. Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody ever talks about that. And I don't know why.
It's so weird.
Like, why isn't that like a storyline ever?
I don't know, dude. Well, it's weird. I mean, I wonder if the people that are big Answer the Call people who are upset that, you know, the franchise continued without that film are mad about that. They're like, oh, he's just doing what Answer the Call did. Or, I don't know if anybody actually is saying that, but.
I mean, listen, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened around Answer the Call. And a lot of people were mistreated and a lot of people were behaving like crazy, but. We've moved on a long way from that, and that movie has its place and its fans, but
sure.
I just think it's crazy. Like, I find Afterlife to be a pretty progressive movie with doesn't really pull any punches about its where it kind of stands as far as like Phoebe Spangler is a young female lead in the movie. And Callie is a, you know, Carrie Coon's an incredible actress.
She's great. Yeah. Well, I think it also says something, and I'm not just trying to pile on to Answer the Call here, but it says something that Afterlife did all those things without trying to constantly call attention to the fact that it was doing those things. It's never like, look at us, we got a girl.
Right.
You just do it. Just do it and act like it's normal, and that's how people start to see it as normal, which it should be normal anyway, but you know, we live in a weird fucked up world or whatever, but
do it. You know, I've been putting together this the second volume of my history of Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I'm going through a lot of the old Answer the Call articles and stuff, and I didn't really see it at the time, but Paul, they were very much like, I don't like using the agenda word, but it was a very purposeful, this ain't the Ghostbusters you remember.
Yeah.
Because we have full, like, they beat everybody over the head with it so much that it was like, oh, this movie does not have a chance to just to be whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, unfortunate, a lot of weird marketing mistakes. And like, we talk about it like, a lot of people we know worked really hard on that movie.
Yeah, and for sure.
I just feel like it was just a stepping stone to get to where we are now.
Right.
Which is really like, do you ever think about just how crazy it is that we're about to get another Ghostbusters movie in such a short period of time.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
In the original universe.
Yeah. it's almost hard to think about because I'm like, well, I don't want to think about it too much in case it still doesn't happen. Something, you know, it's like,
right,
it's happening, but it's so, it was crazy to just get Afterlife. So the fact that Afterlife is over and now we're moving forward and we're doing more and it's still going to have the original cast in it. And I don't know. It's a fortunate thing. I don't understand it.
There was definitely a point in my life where, like, I wanted Ghostbusters 3 to happen more than any one thing in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, talk to me.
No, go ahead. This.
No, okay. You're good.
I remember I had there was a time in my life for a year or so where I lived in this little one-bedroom apartment in Hayhira, which is a town 20 minutes from here with one stoplight, no vegan food. So I ate Subway every single day, veggie subs at Subway every day. I didn't have internet. I didn't have fucking TV to watch. So I would take my
computer. Yeah, I'm going to put some like Western cowboy music in right here.
I would take my computer. I would hang out at the library to use the internet or just sit in there and read or whatever. And then when the library closed, I would take my computer and sit outside of the library and use the Wi-Fi. And I remember reading, it was on my birthday one year, reading information, like searching for Ghostbuster stuff and reading one of those Dan Aykroyd, like Dan Aykroyd says Ghostbusters 3 is happening. And I was right. Like, it is my birthday. I live in this shitty apartment. This is the best thing to happen to me in forever. This was 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. And I was like, it's happening.
We're doing it.
Aykroyd's making a Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so it's one of those things that even when you're in like the worst fucking time of your life, I'm just like, when's Ghostbusters coming?
Oh, dude. I mean, 2009. Me and Abby had only been dating for like a couple of months. We moved into an apartment. I think I just told you the story recently. We moved into this apartment that we could not afford. Had no furniture. Had a shitty bed. Some DVDs. A crappy TV. And I had like a Maddie Collector Egon in package. It was the only... I'm not going to say it was the only toy I owned. It was one of the only possessions I had as a person.
It was that.
Like I had like Family Guy DVDs, probably four shirts, one pair of pants, a girlfriend, and an Egon.
And it was it slimed Egon? Was it slimed
no,
Egon
it was the first? It was the one with the books, the
okay
with the PKE meter.
It's a stack of books, okay.
Because dude, when the 25th anniversary happened and the video game came out, like I remember saving, like I bought a PS3 just so I could play the video game, the Ghostbusters video game. And I don't even think I had it. Like I had to go to a friend's house with my PlayStation because I didn't have a TV that could handle it. Like, you know, tough times.
Right. Right.
But I remember seeing the advertisements for the Maddie Collector figures and being like, what the hell? They've never had figures based on the movie. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. So like when just go through all the rumors of Ghostbusters 3 over the years, like it was so heartbreaking. The further it got, the more you would hear about Bill Murray not wanting to do it. And then obviously when Harold died, it was just like, man, this is just, I was just like, you know what? I remember like 2011 being like, there's two things I know. There's never going to be another Ghostbusters movie, and there's never going to be another Star Wars movie. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah, I remember exactly where I was when I found out that, Harold had passed away, and it was he died the day after my birthday. So, it sucks, but I remember thinking the same thing. I remember just being like, wow, Harold Ramis is gone. and I will never see any more Ghostbusters. I remember thinking that. And that saying that out loud sounds selfish, to be like, well, I guess we're not getting any Ghostbusters because a man died. But I remember having that thought and just being so sad about it.
I mean, not only did you get more Ghostbusters, Harold Ramis was in it.
Harold Ramis was in it.
Like, this is how far we've come. I literally, like, you know, it's crazy. And the Star Wars thing's a whole other, like, I'll never forget this. Ahsoka starts today. The day we record this is the day Ahsoka starts. Actually, it's on. Just started.
It's on right now.
Gotta go. I absolutely lost my mind. I was driving. Me and Abby were working at a restaurant, same restaurant together, sharing a shitty car. We're on the interstate. I'm driving and scrolling through my phone. What else is new? And I see George Lucas sells Lucasfilm to Disney. Three new Star Wars movies coming. Original cast expected to return. And I was like, holy fucking shit. This is the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't believe it. Because I loved Star Wars. And like, it was still in a time where like prequels were like, yeah, they exist and they're whatever. But so knowing that it was coming was so exciting. But just where we are with Ghostbusters, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know what else. It's weird, like when you have that, you know, 15, 20 years of just false starts over and over and over. And finally you're getting like what feels like the best version. You know what I mean? The best, like Afterlife to me feels like the best case scenario of what a third Ghostbusters movie could have been, like above and beyond what my expectations ever could have been. And I literally had a conversation with somebody today about how, how weird Star Wars movies are, but you still love them, but sometimes one's really bad and one's good, and how they did three movies and couldn't get their three main characters into one scene together, but then Ghostbusters Afterlife comes out and puts the four main guys in a scene together that is like somehow the most beautiful and sad and like just the best fucking thing you've ever thought you needed to see is in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I mean, we frame a lot of posters and prints. I'm not one to think that, you know, I'm never going to just take a still from a movie and put it on the wall because I like artistic, you know, interpretation.
Yeah.
Having said all that, that frame of the four of them is unbelievable. And
it's unbelievable. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I feel lucky to have seen it, let alone seen it with my best friends and in a huge theater. And God damn it, I love this.
And Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Jason Reitman and Ivan Reitman.
It's the best.
And our good friend Eric. Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I love
Ghostbusters. Hey, real quick, before we wrap up, because we're about to go do Toy Anxiety, where are you on Ahsoka? You excited?
Yeah. I'm cautiously excited. I'm very excited. I love Ahsoka. I love everything I've seen of Ahsoka. The trailers look amazing, but it's Star Wars. So I'm still a little like, all right, well, it might not even be about Ahsoka we'll see. Put that past them. It might be a Boba Fett situation. Who knows?
Why is Mandalorian here? Well, listen guys, thank you for joining us for a little fireside chat with Jacob and myself. You can find us on.
Cool. I missed Abby.
Yeah, I missed her too. She's over there. She's sleeping over there. She's over there. There's something cool over there. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, no, X. What do we call it? At White Chess Podcast. And you can find us on Patreon for extra additional bonus content. I think Ryan Dole is launching an Ahsoka recap show.
Is he actually doing it? I thought he was joking.
I told him he couldn't name it what he came up with, but I'll say it here.
A name.
No, I liked it. He wanted to call it Ahsoka to Mouth, but I was like, calm down. So he came up with another one called I'm No Podcast, the Ahsoka after show.
See, that's so lame sounding. Let him have the other one.
We'll see. You guys vote if Ahsoka DeMouth is going to get us canceled. Wait. You completely lost on me that Rosario Dawson is the whole...
Yeah, that's her.
Wow, this is just like a whole other angle to this now. I just thought it was Dole being Dole. Okay, interesting. Well, stay tuned for that.
Actually put some thought into it.
Patreon.com/yeshavesome for all the additional bonus content. Jacob, do you have anything else tonight?
No.
All right.
Let's do Total Anxiety.
We'll be back with regular scheduled episodes of Ghostbusters Radio Live. And I got to tell you, you know what I got to do? We got to dig it up. We got to go to the archives. We got to get that trailer.
Oh, it's time.
It's almost time.
It's got to be about time. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe in magic. Music. So we're going to get the trailer music back. Start that countdown.
So I just want to make something clear. You did say we're going to be back on our regular schedule. Probably not next week because we got Dragon Con next week. So
yeah, next week will be weird. But after that, we'll be back.
After that, we'll be back
on track.
Cool.
If you're going to be at Dragon Con, make sure you come find us and say hello. We'll be hanging out with the PKU Surge crew.
Yep.
And we'll probably actually be holed up in our room editing video and podcasting.
Possibly at a fan table.
Possibly. Maybe we'll bring the banner. You just never know.
I got it.
Hey, I'm doing content this year. That's my goal. I'm going to do like 10 Dragon Con videos.
Dragon content.
Ahsoka to mouth. For Jacob Walsh and the sickly Abigail Gardner. That didn't sound right, but she's not feeling well. My name is Craig Goldberg. We'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning into Yes Have Some Podcast. Oh, and Jay Key, thank you for stopping by.
And Jay, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.